Welcome back to Workday Playday, my peeps. This month is all about introverted leadership. Yes, the quiet powerhouses who don't need to be the loudest in the room to lead like pros. And today, we are pulling back the curtain on how small, intentional risks can help even the most introverted souls step into bold leadership without burning out. And of course, we are adding in our always improv magic to the mix. So let's face it, y'all, leadership advice often favors the extroverted. Be louder, speak up, take up more space. But what about the 1 in 3 leaders who identify as introverts? How do you lead boldly in your own way? Today's guest, Christy Vaughn, knows exactly how. Christy is the Senior Director of Talent here at Improve It. And if you don't know what Improve It is, we are an improv-infused talent development company for the new generation of work. Now here, she's helped professionals at companies like Amazon, Accenture, the Obama Foundation, Motorola Solutions, and Groupon, and more, unlock bold communication and leadership skills using, wait for it, improv comedy. She has trained with the Second City in Chicago, I.O., the Annoyance Theater, and Comedy Sports, and has led workshops across the country with empathy, energy, and a sprinkle of stage magic. Now, if you're listening and you've ever stayed quiet in a meeting, even though you had the best idea, or you skipped an opportunity because it felt too loud, too fast, too much, this is the episode for you. Now, according to a study published in Harvard Business Review, introverted leaders often deliver better outcomes because they're more likely to listen and empower their teams. Yet they're also more likely to be overlooked. Today, we are here to flip the script. You don't have to become someone you're not. You just have to lean into who you are, one small risk at a time. Oh my gosh, this is a long time coming. Christy Vaughn, welcome to the Workday Playday podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You were so welcome. We'll just talk like this the rest of the time. We'll just have I'll this conversation. Like this. Yes, like this, like where you're from the South, which I do live in Charleston, South Carolina.
It's true.
It's so true. She's in Maryland. Well, okay. So you've been on the show before. You were, I think, on the show when it was the Improve It podcast, and now we're working.
Long time listener.
Second time caller. But I'm excited because you're on Workday Playdate now, and we're talking about your new keynote, which I am so excited about, called The Introverted Leader. And I want people to just hear from you why this was created. Let's start at the beginning. Have you always considered yourself an introvert or an extrovert or a little of both? Like, tell us, Christy Vaughn, from the beginning. Where do you lie in the extroversion introversion scale?
Well, when I was born, I'm just kidding. I thought you said start at the beginning. So when I came out of my mother's womb, I was extroverted, but now I'm introverted. I really thought for a long time that I was extroverted. I really thought, like, I have this personality, like I can be outgoing. Oh my gosh. Like I can talk to anybody. Because it also was, I think, reinforced by a lot of people who growing up who knew my mom. She was a motivational speaker. She had a TV show and she was extroverted and I sort of sound like her and I look like her. And I think for a long time, I just was like her because we were like, oh, you're just like your mom. You must be extroverted. And what happened was I always felt, it took me a long time to realize this, but I felt like I was pushing. And I tend to be like a real person, meaning when I meet somebody, I am outgoing. I can be real with you and I can be vulnerable. And I'm like, oh, that's extroverted. That's what that is. And I was like, no, that's just who I am. I want to know people at a deeper level. So it seemed I was extroverted. But then the problem would happen like this. Say I went out one night and I was like, hey, oh my gosh, so nice to meet you, da 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 da. And then say the next night I had another thing. I would go out and I'd be like, something's wrong with me. I'm so off. Like I kept thinking I'm off. And I was like, something's wrong. It's like almost like I couldn't go up to people. Like I was like, oh, I can't. Oh my God, I wouldn't. Even though the night before I could go up to that person. And what I realized was nothing was wrong with me. I just have a specific battery, meaning I gave everything I got that day before and now I need to recharge. And I realized it's almost like I could be my mom for one day and push that and still have parts of me in there. But then the next day I needed to be me and me needed to be alone. And I couldn't realize that. So I think going from the beginning, I definitely thought I had a more extroverted personality, but I think I confused that with just who I am as a person. And what I realized going more into it was like, oh, I like smaller groups. Oh, I like one-on-one time. Oh, I need a week. Like, especially now with what we do doing facilitation, I'm like, I need a week. Like we just were on the road. We were doing this for a week and I'm going, I had fun and I was vulnerable and it was amazing. And now I'm like, I need to sit alone and I need to do Sudoku. And I need to be by myself for coffee. And I've realized for about 2 weeks straight since I've been home, I'm like, I'm not talking to anybody. So not always. It was kind of like a roller coaster.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I mean, okay, so many things. Because I've known you for probably 13 years at this point, which is wild. And what's funny is like, I didn't really realize that you were an introvert until we actually started hanging out. Because I think what a lot of people, we hung out in class. We met, so Chrissy and I met at an improv class at IO, formerly Improv Olympic in Chicago. I was like, she is so funny. She is the funniest girl. I was getting married. She had just gotten married at the time. But every scene that I did, I remember was about planning a wedding. Because that was like what was going on in my life.
It was.
And you, I thought were so funny. Like you saved me in so many scenes. I mean, I was just getting like my improv chops back then. And I remember asking you to do Improve It. You were like, yes. And then I remember we went on our very first gig together and we traveled to Charlotte, North Carolina, which is so funny. And we stayed. This is like before we had travel budgets. So I was just told the client, yeah, we'll come. And we like did literally like 5 workshops for a very, very small fee. And we had a translator for one of these workshops. And we stayed at my friend who was house sitting's house that she was house sitting.
You stayed in a 5-year-old girl's bedroom. That was like, the bed was not clean. You were just staying in her bed.
Exactly.
I still think about it.
Was glitter and sparkles. I was like, this is my room. And you're like, I'll have the guest house. There was a pool. And this all has a purpose because I remember thinking to myself, like, I'm going to go for a run. And this is my time to recharge, but I'm like doing something. And I remember coming back, leaving you, and you were sitting at the pool staring at an ant. And then like watching an ant walk across the pool tile. And when I came back 30 minutes later, you were still sitting there watching the ant. And it just was like something that stuck out to me. Like, wow, I don't know if I ever have sat still for 30 minutes. At that point in life, I didn't have a meditation practice or anything. And so I just remember thinking, wow, she's so on when she's on stage. But she needs some off time. And that was just a really big epiphany moment for me. And now you and I travel all over the world together. And I'll never forget, like, there's sometimes in the car when we're just like burnt and we're like, let's just not talk for like 30 minutes.
I feel like that to me, you are my real friend if you understand that about me. And you're like, oh, that, because like when I'm in it and I'm having these conversations and they're really great, and I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. And then I need all my friends who are close to me understand, like, I think it's like a test that I have that if we're together somewhere and we've been talking, that you'll allow me for 30 minutes just to sit in silence. And there's no hard feelings. There's no, like, no, it's just, we need the silence. And it's like my brain, like you, Aaron, moves very fast and I'm task oriented and I get done a lot in a day. And it's like I hit this, it's almost like you're filling this thing up and then it hits the roof and it's almost like my brain shuts down, which is, again, going back to that second party, right? Like that's the second party. That's the shutting down. And that's when I know, oh, I've got to stare at an ant for 30 minutes. And it's nothing. It's just basically my brain goes into full shutdown mode and it's like trying to recharge fast enough.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched it in real time and I know you know this, but I am not an introvert. We know that, but I now have to recharge more as we continue to do this work, because the work we do, we give literally all the energy we have in our bodies to the participants, sometimes as a small group, sometimes as a big group. And people don't really realize how exhausting it can be and depleting mentally and physically. So let's talk about that, because a lot of people think that what we do, improv, speaking, facilitating, is just for extroverts. How would you crack that myth?
I'd say no.
Yeah.
Like it's for people who want to step out of their comfort zone. That's what improv is no matter the personality, or which side of your brain has more strength, I shall say, it's about utilizing the other part of your brain in a different aspect of your life. Like, in fact, like people confuse loud improv and they confuse it with comfortability. Like, and I think that's the big difference there is loud and comfortability. It's for improv, for most people, it's where they can finally be themselves. I think it allows for most introverts to finally feel home, because what it does is it gives this ability. And, you know, my best friends, like they've worked for Improve It a couple times, you know, like I'm thinking Stevie, Jamie, I'm thinking about five different people that I know who are part of our team who are incredible improvisers, who are the most introverted people in the world. But what improv does is gives them ability to get on stage and finally feel heard. And I think we confuse this like bits, like people are doing bits and back and forth. It's like people think improvisers, we're just doing bits all the time, which we are when we're together. But then most of the time we all go away and we're quiet again, because that was our safe space to do the bits where we would feel heard, where we can be loud, where we are accepted, where no one's judging us for being quiet because they're like, wow, that person has strength. And I think it's a big myth that they're, you know, you have to be extroverted to get on stage. No, it's probably the number one format that you can get on and finally be yourself. Show aside because you have the vulnerability to get there.
I freaking love it. Yes. And let's just like say this. We have about 20 people on our team. How many? And that's our facilitation team. Internally, we're a lean, mean team of 6. But on the facilitation team, what percentage of that group would you say are introverts?
Oh man, 60%, more than 50.
Yeah.
So 60% of us are people who, I mean, you can even see it when, say we have a workshop that is two of us going, right? Like you and I going, you and I are chatting, because introverts are really great one-on-one. We're awesome one-on-one. It's how we feel a little bit safer. When it's groups, you can almost see it in the groups. If you were to put 3 other people, the introverts are quieter in that group. And it's interesting to find out. But then we're doing bits and everyone's like, oh, I'm going to get in on it. It's like fun to see. But you can kind of see that I can like think about different road trips I've been on or different workshops we've gone on where there's been a group of us and there's 3 out of the 5 of us are quieter. 3 out of the 5 of us are taking a seat back. But we're listening so well. And the reason why we're funny is because we've listened so well and we know exactly when to put something in. And we get the biggest laughs and we get, you know, people chuckling so hard because they didn't see it coming, because we seem like we're quiet, but secretly we're taking it all in.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. And like, I love being with our team because we have so much fun. My cheeks always hurt. But it's like we all know when we all leave those settings, we're all going and like staring at a wall for the next hour, because it's our brain is activated, but we do feel safe to be that way. And I think too, just like bringing up that point, same with teams of people, just like take our team and put it into context in a team setting. And everybody who is on that team might feel safer in a small group sharing ideas. But when they come to the big group, it's overwhelming for them. So smaller groups might be like a really good solution for people who are leading introverts on their team, which 50% of the workforce is introverts, by the way. That is like a statistic I just found, 50%. So half your team approves and loves working in a small group versus this big group setting. And I think like all of our people, by the way, to just all the peeps listening, all of the Improve It internal and, well, I'll say all the Improve It facilitation team has over, like at this point, 15 plus years of improv experience, each individual, and has also worked in a corporate setting. And our tenure, like the last time we hired was 2018. And most people have been with us either from, there's like five people from 2014, big chunk from 2016. And then the last hires we did were in 2018, and we haven't hired facilitators since. And I think it's because we create this really great space where when you come here and you facilitate and you do a workshop, like you're with the people you know, love, and trust, and you know you're serving people and bringing good to the world. But then you can also retreat and like have a moment to yourself, how you and I always do our, we'll be on, and then we'll be like, I'll see you in 2 hours after we chill in the hotel room.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
That is like, yeah. that is just so interesting. So, okay. Let's talk about just people you see in workshops, because we have worked together. So you've been here since literally day one, since 2014. And we have probably done 600 workshops together, and you've probably done, you know, 200 plus more on your own. What risks do you see introverts taking in our workshops that often lead to big transformations? It doesn't have to be in the workshop, but like a risk they might have talked about in the workshop setting that leads to a big result. Is there something that you've noticed over time?
I mean, honestly, it's pretty simple answer to that. It is just doing the exercise. Like an introvert just diving in, and you know, a lot of these workshops that we do, the first thing I say is I'm gonna push you out of your comfort zone. But you know, can you dip that little toe at a time and do a little bit? And when I said it like that, and I say, you're gonna feel that ick, you're gonna feel that uncomfortableness, and that's okay to feel that, it kind of frees them to go, okay, I'm just gonna do it. So honestly, it's the biggest thing that risk that I see them taking is just doing the exercise, let alone answering a debrief question. There's sometimes that, and I think a part of it for me is like, I share my vulnerability of like, you know I do a million of these. However, I still just get just as nervous. I still get just as introverted starting going, how am I going to do this? How am I supposed to turn it on? It's like, I still feel that way. I've done thousands of these. So showing my vulnerability and then just awarding them for even jumping in and doing the exercise. That's, honestly, you could even go further, just showing up.
Yeah.
Just showing up and doing it. They're already creating the change within themselves to step outside of their comfort zone.
It's so cool to watch, right? Like you and I get to sit back and watch it. And it's like such a vibe to watch the room transform and just see people have those aha moments and be proud of themselves in real time. Like it is vulnerable work.
Yeah.
It is,
because we see a lot. However, some of my favorite moments have been, you know, we're at the end of the workshop and we're talking and we're debriefing and you know, so I've had a couple moments where someone finally who's been introverted the whole time, I have had my eye on them and they go, oh, this is what I, and they speak up and you're just like, oh, they felt safe enough. We created this safe space for them to actually feel like they could share now. And it's like, that's our job doing these workshops. Our job is to create that safe space so that people can finally feel heard.
That's it. That's it. And you, I mean, we have watched every type of team too. Like some people think, you know, I've got a team full of extroverts. How are they going to handle this? What would you say to somebody listening who's like, this will never work with my team? They're all introverted. They, you know, they're very analytically brained. They're not creative brained. Like, what would you say to somebody who's thinking that?
Throw them in, improv is for everybody. Like truly, throw them in. I mean, say, you know, you're going to get uncomfortable and that's okay. And I'd say try it. I've never seen it fail.
Yeah. And we even say you can't fail. You can't.
Because like, you can't.
You literally can't.
Because you really can't. We've done the biggest introverts in the world and honestly put a room full of introverts together and somehow cumulatively they become extroverts for 30 minutes or an hour.
And we've worked with all types of teams from like accountants to analysts to intern groups who just met each other to roofers, people who literally work on roofs. So we've seen it all.
We've seen it all.
Yeah. Okay. So for you as an introvert, what is there something that you can think of? Is there a time in your life where you might have taken a small risk that was outside of your typical comfort zone and it ended up being like a game changer for you? Is there something that comes to mind for you?
This job. You know, surprisingly enough to you, it's, I think back to this one moment and, you know, I've always surrounded, I'm a leader. I would say I'm a very good leader, but I've always surrounded myself before this job, you know, 10, 11 years ago now with people who had the strength to be the face sometimes where I could like be the support, you know, someone like my mom or like you. And it's, you know, I'm great at backing you up and making you look good. Like that's kind of my personality. Before I would say before this time, now I'm like, let me shine. you know, it would have been 2016. And you turned to me and you said, you know, at that point you'd been leading every workshop and I was your co-facilitator. So I really was just the support system in the room. And I would say even then I was really like, I wasn't a step forward. I was just doing the helping and the showing up like, hey, oh, let's count off into groups. Like I really wasn't, you know, I was your teammate, but I was really, you know, you were the leader. And I would say in 2016, you turned to me and said, hey, I have a workshop in Indiana. We just hired somebody. Could you take them with you to Arizona and you lead the workshop? And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And you're like, yeah, it's time for you to lead a workshop. And you know, at that point I had done a lot with you, but I was scared. I was like, I did not have the confidence. And also I was being sent with someone who we just hired. I was like, they've hardly done the workshop. Oh my gosh. You know? And so I flew to Arizona with a brand new co-facilitator and I risked, you know, I think thinking I couldn't lead. And I was like, I'm going to be like Aaron. I'm going to use Aaron's personality. I'm going to do this like Aaron. And what I learned is I took the skills you taught me and what improv taught me. But in the end, in that workshop itself, I found my own voice. And with that, I started to feel my own voice every workshop I led by myself to where the point now where I could lead any workshop and I feel very confident in what I do. But it was that moment because I remember I flew on that airplane and I think it was Catherine Savage who's been a long time team member. I was like, and she had done facilitation in different ways. I was like, I'm so nervous. Okay, let's go over the workshop one more time. Okay, one more time. I think we were on a 3-hour flight to Arizona and we went over the workshop 7 times. And it wasn't until the next day where I still met her for breakfast. I was like, can we go for one more time? I was so nervous because it was the biggest risk. It was me being the center. And I, as much as you'd think an improviser loves being the center of attention, I hate being the center of attention. It makes me feel really uncomfortable. And I followed the fear and I went for it. I said, yes. I don't even think I said, I don't know, Aaron. I was like, yeah, okay.
I was like, you have to go. And, but well, first of all, look at you now. Okay. Look at me now.
Look at me now.
And look at you now. And then second of all, like, I just remember that was the time too. We had grown so much and you had done so much and like, I knew you could do it. You just didn't really realize it until you did it, that you could do it. Also, you got to go to like this beautiful resort in Arizona.
I know.
And I was with three of our dudes. Yeah. I shared a room at the freaking Economy Lodge with Patrick McDonald. Okay. We literally, he was my roommate. And I'm like, you're like sending me pictures from the pool with Catherine. And I'm like, here we are having breakfast at the hotel buffet, Economy Lodge.
Yeah. But I was like, so I'm in a succulent garden. Look at my succulents all around me.
And I remember you bought a plant and named it Catherine.
I did. I still have it. Well, it's Catherine 3 at this point because I killed two of them, but I keep renaming the same plant. So Catherine 3 is still alive and living. It's for the day. I got it in honor of Catherine saving the day and flying with me.
See, and so, that. So, yeah. But like, I almost didn't ask you that question, and I'm so glad I did, because that's the power of like believing in yourself. That's the power of taking your own power and harnessing it. And I love what you said too, like you, and that's the thing, you lead, we have 4 to 5 other lead facilitators besides the two of us. You get the same content, but it's a different delivery from every single person. And that's what makes it great. And that's, we need that. We need different voices, right? Like, and
because we all bring our different personal selves to the table, like different vulnerabilities. Yeah.
And I'll be honest, like just for the leaders listening out there, that was like, for me, that was like, if I didn't let go of something in the business would not continue. So it was like me letting go of control, me trusting you. I have full trust. But it was like, okay, like I'm not going to be able to be in every one of these anymore. And that was the great growth point. And so for the leader listening, who's like, I just can't let go of this thing, but I know I need to, like, this is your sign to let go of it because great things happen. Now, Christy has been a lead facilitator since 2016 and is leading keynotes. So it's so freaking cool and dope. Okay, peeps, I had to press pause for just a moment on this incredible episode with my gal, Christy, because if you're planning an offsite, a conference, or you just want to shake things up with a big group, I'm talking 100 people plus, then listen up, I got your back. It's called The Introverted Leader, a high-energy, hour-long keynote that's going to get your team out of their comfort zones and into their confidence. With our amazing Senior Director of Talent here in Prove It, Christy Vaughn, who you're listening to today, an improviser, comedian, and certified introvert, we'll prove that improv isn't just for the loudest person in the room. She'll show your team how to tap into hidden strengths, embody a super character when they need it most, and balance extroversion without the burnout. If you want your people walking away inspired, laughing, and a little bit braver, this is it. Hit us up and ask about the Introverted Leader keynote for your next event at www.learntoimproveit.com. That's learntoimproveit.com. Can't wait to hear about how this introverted leader impacts you and your team. Let's get back to the show. Let's talk about that though. Let's talk about that, because now you're stepping on to the keynote stage. And you and I both
Another
have talked.
Yep.
But we've talked about like I actually am glad that I went through it first and then I could help you, because like it was something different. It's different than facilitating a workshop. It is literally you are on the stage. You're not like with the people, which we're so used to, which we make our keynotes like we are interacting with the room, but it's a different beast. And so you have to use more energy and a different type of energy. So how can you, as you step into this role, protect your energy, but still step into that visibility and leadership in this keynote world?
That's a great question. So it's a two-part question, I think. First off, I protect my energy. I have boundaries. I've learned them. They took a long time to get to. I encourage you to find what they are for yourself. And I have boundaries. I used to run myself ragged, like be like, oh, I'll go, 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 go. And I'd get myself sick. I think you, Aaron, you'll probably recall this. When I lived in Chicago, I got sick a lot. People always know. They're like, oh, Christy has a broken ankle. Oh, she hurt her arm. Oh, she fell. Oh, she's got a flu. It's like somehow I was always sick. And it's like, I would never admit to that. I'd be like, I'm not sick. I'm fine. And I really did not have these boundaries to protect myself. And I would push until ultimately my body said absolutely no and shoved me down and would be like, you have a broken ankle now. Try to walk on crutches and make it everywhere. And I'm like, okay. So first off, I know, such a true story.
I'm laughing because not you had the broken ankle. I'm just recalling a time.
You're like, I need you down at the office. I was like, really, girl? I've got hardly a leg. Then another time I'm running down the side of a highway in a boot. trying to make it to a workshop. Yeah, there just were no boundaries with myself. Protect your energy. No, I think knowing yourself is the number one thing. If you know you are an introvert, know your limits. I know what my limits are now. I know that, okay, there's 7 days in a week. I've chosen 4 of those days are me doing a whole bunch of stuff with people. One of those days fully has to be with no people. The other days can maybe be with a couple, but it has to be people who I trust with my energy. How much of that? Like, you really, okay, I'm on the road. I have a workshop. I'm with people. Oh, I feel guilty because I'm not going out to lunch with them or I'm not doing this. No, have your boundary, have your setup. I'll eat dinner with them and then I'm not going to go out afterwards. I'm going to go back home or I'm going to go back to the hotel and I'm going to make sure I recharge that way. Like I very much have specific boundaries. My mornings are mine. And I realized that a long time ago. I need a solid morning by myself. I can almost recharge within that segment. So like, I think being very protective of your time and who you share it with and when you share it and know your schedule. It takes organization, but if you know your schedule, you can know when you can give and when you can take. Yeah.
I love it.
I know. The second part of the question.
That was sort of it because I think when you step into, when there's more stakes, when you actually take the risk and you step into the facilitation role, the keynote speaking role, if somebody's listening, you're stepping into that promotion, you're stepping into whatever that next level is for you, you're going to have more eyes on you. There's going to be more people watching you. And so I think it's just like knowing your boundary so you know when enough is enough. Because if you get to that breaking point in a more visible role, the stakes are higher. Like you missing, you know, a workshop is a huge deal, right? Like me missing a keynote is a huge deal. And if I have not taken the time, and you now doing keynotes, like if you're sick because you've lacked the self-care or the energetic boundaries of like giving yourself time to refuel, that's going to affect the stuff that you're here to do, your purpose and the service that you're giving the world. So I think you answered it.
Yeah, I did. I also say like, I changed my life probably in 2019, I changed how I did things, how I showed up for myself. And I really felt like I found myself in a lot of different ways. But I think the most important thing I took was how to take care of myself. And I will gladly tell you that it has been years since, knock on wood, that I have been sick or have had injury that's not like genetic. Like I have a hip thing because of genetics. However, I will say like I really have been so intentional with how I carry my energy. To the point of, you know, I was just at a bunch of festival circuits and I was doing all this stuff and I had the option. I could stay for free with a friend or I could get an Airbnb. I know it would cost me more money, but I knew I would have the downtime in between all these industry parties and industry networking events. And I said, you know what? As much as I would love to be with this friend, I know, even though I know that they would respect my time, I know myself well enough that I'm going to get the Airbnb. I'm going to spend the money, unfortunately. And I'm going to do that because I need that time. And I know the old Christy would have said, oh, whatever, I'll be fine. I'll figure it out. And then I would have run myself ragged. I wouldn't have been able to get on the next flight to the next industry panel, to all those things. So I think I'm so thankful that I learned that. And I can only keep hoping people learn from my mistake of, you know, overcommitting and not realizing who you are as a person, knowing that you are an introvert.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's so cool. It's like self-realization and awareness is huge. And I know a lot of versions of Christy. You know a lot of versions of me. Like we've known each other a long time and I can vouch. Old Christy would have been like, whatever, I'm staying with Stevie and I'm going to just hang out in between. And then I would have, you know, tanked on the way home. But I respect that. And I think too, it's like you age and we've both known each other 13 years. Like those boundaries just become even more important as you do more meaningful work and as like relationships and life changes. I hear you. Like the boundaries are just crucial. And I want to talk about your keynote, the introverted leader.
Yes.
So, okay. Let's just even talk about like how this was formed. Cause there was like another risk you had to take, right? So we had a client of ours who's been our client for a few years who loves you, ask you to speak and do somewhat of a keynote, right? And so tell us how it came to be and like what you were thinking when you were creating it.
Yeah, I mean, how it came to be was that during a workshop, I presented how I am an introvert and that you, I bet you couldn't believe that I'm an introvert and I'm doing these workshops, because it always is a shock to people. They're like, no, you're not. There's no way you're an introvert. And I was like, no, I have skills and principles that I follow in order to get to that point, to be able to do this workshop. And he loved that idea and was like, hey, could you make a keynote and a talk about being an introverted leader, you know, being what you do? I was like, absolutely. And so I sat down and I thought, you know, what are the rules that I follow in order to do this thing? And at this point, I have a bunch of rules that I follow in order to be this type of leader, in order to be introverted and still do what I do on a daily basis. And so I just sat down and I created this keynote. And I realized, man, the more I talked about it and the more I even started, you know, when things are top of mind, you start bringing them into conversation. And the more I talked about it in workshops and the more vulnerable I was sharing that I'm an introvert, it's like, it's almost like a dog perks its ears. Like everybody in the workshop would be like, wait, what? Oh, she's an introvert? How's she doing this? And I just realized, oh, I have these gifts that I think would be very interesting for people to hear, to put into practice. Because like you said, 50% of people in a workforce or in general are introverted. And not only can this help you in your work setting, it can help you in your personal setting. It can help you show up as a better partner. It can help you show up as a better listener. I think I just found a way that would translate it into a world of which you can, it could be compatible for every part of your life. And that's sort of how I sat down and wrote this. And the keynote hopefully will, my hope is that the keynote inspires people who think they're introverted and can't get further than that, that they know that they can be more than just introverted.
I love it. And there's 50% of the people in that audience who are going to be like, this is what I need. This is me. I love it. I love it. What can you say to the extroverts, the 50% of, in the audience? Like how is this going to help the extroverts in the room lead their teams who are introverts?
Listen, I think if honestly, it is just as crucial for the other 50% to be hearing what an introvert is like. It's like learning the work style, how someone works, how they move, so that you can work with them so that it can be cohesive and synergetic, versus having this idea, well, they work like that and I work like this, and so we just never will be compatible in this way. What my keynote will do is create that synergy between the two in order for there to be cross collaboration and communication. So it is a intentional moving forward where we know how to work together versus these roadblocks. This person doesn't know how to, I don't know how to talk with this person because they don't talk because they're introverted. Well, how can we talk to that person? How do they like to be talked to? Let me understand this introverted's brain a little bit more so that I can meet them at their level. And then the same goes for the introvert. I can meet them at their level because I can show up in this way because I learned this skill.
I love it. I love it. And as an extrovert leading a lot of introverts, I know it's very impactful. And so it's there's something literally for everybody. And it's meant for every audience. Like it's great for small groups, but we intend to, with keynotes, do a group of 100 plus. And it could be virtual or in person, which is freaking dope. So, okay, any final thoughts? Because like we could talk for hours and hours, but I feel like the listener listening today, if they are an introvert and they're afraid of speaking up and they're afraid of having their voice be heard, what is one thing that you would say to them to do today to make them feel like you did that time you got on that airplane going to Arizona and owned your own voice? Is there something you would say to them today to make them own their power and their voice?
Yeah. I don't know if it's something I can tell you to do, because I think the most important thing I can tell you is commend yourself that you're an introvert. Be proud that you're an introvert. Don't be like, I wish I had that personality. They're so loud and outgoing and amazing. You have such a superpower. And I can only embolden you to know that you can use it for your power, not for, you know, it's, look at it like it's a superpower, not a defect. And that's the most important thing I can tell you, is for a long time, I thought I was less than because I didn't have the personality of someone, even like an Erin. Oh, I wish people flock to her in that way. I wish I could. Well, people flock to me in a different way. And I don't have to be the loudest in the room for that. I just have to be me. And I think owning that And at the end of the day, your quietness and your listening is what people aim and strive for. It's what people ask for. So knowing that you have that, the gift of being an introvert is that we are taking it all in. We're sitting, we're listening, we're watching, so that when the time does come, we can come in and tell you what's important. We can come in and tell you, hey, we grasped it all. I want to give it back to you. So I think it's more own it. Don't defect it.
I freaking love it. And I got to say, so on our internal team, you're an introvert. Jenna's an introvert. Kennedy's an introvert. And then it's me, Rachel, and Nicole on the extroverted side. So there's 50% literally split in the middle, literally in the middle. But what I think is so great, yeah, is like you have your own style of people and you command rooms. You literally command rooms. And we get, you and I laugh because sometimes you get these really awesome laugh tracks in workshops that it's like you yeah. could say dog food and the whole room's like, ha, 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 ha. Like, it's like a fake laugh track. We're like, we need to record this. But it's like you grasp their attention even with pauses and with direct, like, intentional communication. And so that makes you a really strong facilitator and speaker. And Jenna, like Jenna is our VP of client experience, and she is amazing at sales because, not because she's loud and not because she's going to nag you, but because she is deeply listening to your problems and figuring out how to solve it. And Kennedy is our marketing guru, and she literally has to listen to all the things we have ideas about and then put into action and create them. And so listening is her superpower. And so just even a real life example of the 50% extroverts, introverts working in real time, and like the superpowers that each one of you possess really make you, you. And so taking that into consideration, peeps, putting it into practice for yourself, I think is huge. This is my last question that I ask every guest. How are you going to make your workday more playful today?
Oh, okay. you know me, my workday is interesting. So it's always pretty playful. But I have been adding in to do, this isn't even a workday. Every now and again, I go do a set of weights and then I come back and I'm like, yeah. Okay. And I come back to doing it. Honestly, it's my play, you know, that's my form. I'm going to make it playful by being a positive, bright light in a day that is gray outside.
Look at that. And she's a poet. She rhymes. She even does that all the time. Doesn't even know it. Poet doesn't know it. Okay. Well, I love it. You know, that reminds me, back when we had a Chicago office, the office next to us, we were like the only female, all female group down there on the lower level, not to be confused with basement office. And the dudes who were next to us, they had a weight set. And so they would do that, like in between meetings, we would hear them go, oh, oh, and we just die. So I just pictured you doing a couple of like bicep curls, oh, yeah, in between. Oh. And, oh, the strain is real. But okay, if people want to find you, where can they find you? And then tell them how they could book you to speak at their next event.
Awesome. Okay, a couple ways you can find me. I am on Instagram, Christy Von R. I know it's just Christy Von on here, but it's Christy Von R on Instagram. Follow me. I post a lot on there. I do a lot of adventures. I'm always on the road for Improve It. And you can also follow along for my show that I have going on too. Collaborate and Listen is on there. And if you want to book me for your keynote, which I think you should, because honestly, we need more introverted leaders out there and we need them to take the stand. You can book me at Improve It. Reach out to Improve It straight through that. Improve It Co., correct?
But learntoimproveit.com. Learntoimproveit.com.
I didn't know if you wanted to give me the website, but learntoimproveit.com. You know, or honestly, if you're like, hey, I have questions for you, reach out anytime through Improve It, Learn to Improve It. I'm happy to answer. I'm happy to talk introvert all day, every day, except for when I'm boundarying.
Wait, did you just say your quiet aunt time. Did you just say controvert, which is like conversing with an introvert? I think you just made up a new word. Controverting.
If you want to controvert.
Is that real? I think we need to trademark that. Controverting. That needs to go in the keynote. You heard it here. Yeah, controverting. Okay. Well, Christy Von, we adore you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being a friend. Okay. Okay, quiet leaders. That was such an awesome episode. I love chatting with Christy. As you can see, we are good friends. We've been doing this thing together for the past 11 plus years. And that episode is just a snippet in how wonderful she is as a human being, as a facilitator, as a keynote speaker. So here is your homework, okay? Just as Christy said, she took that one small risk in 2016 to catapult her to the facilitator she is now, and now a keynote speaker. I want you to take one small intentional risk today. Maybe it's speaking up in a meeting. Maybe it's pitching that idea. Maybe it's reaching out to a mentor. Or maybe it's trying to say yes and to something you'd normally avoid. Boldness does not always roar. Sometimes it whispers and then it leads. So if you liked today's episode, please consider leaving us a comment and a 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify. It means the world and it helps bring more people to our play dates. All right. So know, my friends, that if today's episode did speak directly to you, I'm so proud of you for taking that risk, pressing play. Celebrate yourself today and know that we're so glad you're here. And remember what I always say, keep leading, keep improving, keep in failing, and remember that every workday is a play date waiting to happen. I'll see you next time.